Thanks, Keith. Good morning, everyone. The concise Oxford Dictionary defines the word crisis as a decisive moment, a time of great danger or difficulty, a turning point, particularly in relation to a disease. Now, it might be said that Verve Energy is plagued with debt, but we're not suffering a disease in the conventional sense of the word. But the Varanus gas crisis did provide a turning point for us and a catalyst for a strategic shift in our direction. To provide you with some context and to enable you to really appreciate the ramifications of the gas crisis on our business, what I'd like to do in the next 20 minutes is give you a brief overview of the role we're currently playing in the evolving energy market in Western Australia before looking at the impact of the crisis on our business and the lessons we learned. But for those of you who aren't familiar with our business, it may be helpful just to take a moment to give you a snapshot of what we're all about. April 2006, Western Australia's only fully vertically integrated energy utility was split up into four standalone business units covering generation, retail, generation, retail, distribution, transmission and regional. The generation arm was named Verve Energy. We remain 100% government-owned, operate as a government trading enterprise with our own independent board. The area we operate in largely is this black area, bordering from Kalbarri in the north, Kalgoorlie in the east, to Albany in the south. We are very active players in the market in that we not only generate and sell electricity, but we also sell large quantities of gas and gas transport to smaller consumers. And, of course, we have one major customer. Under what is known as the vesting contract, more than 95% of our annual production goes to one customer, Synergy, at prices that well and truly don't cover our costs. But I should add that the vesting contract is currently under review by the Office of Energy and may, and I'm only speculating here, but may lead to a total redesign of the contract, including the netback pricing mechanism, which is the element that causes us so much financial pain. I should mention that the 22 power stations referred to in this slide do include our thermal, our wind, wind diesel, biomass and solar. Verve Energy is in the very fortunate position of not only having diversity in terms of its generation technology, but also our fuel sources. 930 megawatts of our power plant, including the Frame 6, Pinjar Frame 6 gas turbines, some of the units at Kwinana are dual-fueled, can run on gas and coal. And our Kwinana power station, and I think this is right, Ken, is, I think, unique in Australia in that it can run on three fuels, coal, gas or oil, which is very handy in times of a crisis. Gas is used to generate 35% of our annual production, and about 60% of our installed capacity uses gas as its primary fuel. So you can see why we were very grateful back in June we weren't an Apache customer. To really understand the role that Verve Energy can play in a crisis, it's helpful to have an understanding of the capability of our plant and the pressures we currently operate under. Most of our plant is more than 20 years old, much of it more than 30 years old, and this is problematic for a number of reasons. One of which is it exposes us to potentially draconian penalties under the market rules for unplanned outages. In turn, the ageing plant and equipment also means a reduction in reliability. This reduction in reliability is exacerbated by the fact that as the balancer in the market, we're required to cycle some of our units at Kwinana. And not only is Kwinana an ageing facility, but it's a baseload plant. It wasn't designed to be cycled. So we bear an additional maintenance penalty and a reduction in plant design life as a result. So the efficiency and the reliability of our plant really are critical factors in determining how well we can respond to a crisis. And to try and redress that exposure, we are well underway with a $100 million asset maintenance program, which currently involves the replacement of control and instrumentation systems at Mooja. We've already uprated Collie Power Station by 10 megawatts and Mooja by 54 megawatts. So that should go some way in future to improving our ability to respond in terms of reliability and efficiency of plant operation. Now, in terms of how well we could respond in a cost-effective way from the fuel point of view, as I mentioned, we're very fortunate in this particular crisis. 100% of our gas comes from the Northwest Shelf. And we're also fortunate in that we have in place competitively priced, stable gas supply and gas transport contracts, which will take us through to about 2014-2015. In relationship to coal, we have for many years been paying the highest price per tonne, but from 2010 onwards, Wesfarmers becomes our sole supplier. And, of course, the big hitter for us is always the liquid burn. And the Varanus gas crisis really meant that for June and July, our liquid burn went up by about $30 million, although I should mention, as Ken did, that some of this was attributable to unavailability of coal plant. And it's no secret, back in January when Woodside's plant at Karratha went down for 2 days, we spent more than $7 million in 1 day burning liquid. On the financial side, it's also no secret that our position is less than robust, and this, in a subtle psychological way, probably impacts on our response to any crisis, in that we'll make every effort to try and minimise any further detrimental impact on our financial position. But I can tell you, as the supplier of last resort, that's easier said than done. I should also add that our financial position is not of our own making, and it is no reflection on our operational performance. It's very much a function of the debt we inherited at the time of disaggregation, in excess of $600 million, and the tariff freeze policy, and of course the vesting contract. And the vesting contract is also problematic because the average load under that results in a 43% capacity factor, which is very low for a generator with a high proportion of thermal plant, and that also has negative consequences in terms of plant life and efficiency. But the good news is, with the proposed lifting of the tariffs next year, and the review of the vesting contract, our financial situation should improve, and that should also lead through to an improved ability to respond to a crisis. Lastly, it's helpful to have an understanding of the current obligations we have under the market. VERV is treated differently. We bear a burden that's not borne by others in the market. We're responsible for a number of ancillary services, including spinning reserve and balancing. Balancing means we must operate the plant more flexibly, and as I mentioned earlier, it meant we had no choice but to burn expensive liquids back in January when Woodside's plant went down. The 3,000 megawatt cap we're subject to also means that we must, on the thermal start side, constrain, contract our business, and we are in the process of retiring old plants, so that will also impact, or may impact, on our ability in the future to assist in a crisis. Just in relation to the market, I should, for the benefit of those of you who are not familiar with how the market works and its evolution, the market design as it is very much a mechanism for developing a competitive market. And the intention of the rules was very much to constrain Verve Energy's market power and encourage new entrants into the market. It was always envisaged that our profitability would be under pressure, but perhaps not quite to the extent that it's turned out to be. So what was the impact on the crisis? Well, not being an Apache customer, we weren't directly affected, but being government-owned, we were certainly heavily involved in the response. And this began with the meeting that Ken referred to. The Premier called a meeting on the Sunday after Friday's explosion, at which a number of decisions were made, one of which was the establishment of the Gas Supply Coordination Group. First meeting of which was held on the following Monday. It started at 5:30, ended at 10:30, and I must confess I bailed after an hour, but Ken went the distance. the other impact it had on Verve was that we were asked to bring back Mooja A and B, which are old coal-fired units that we had retired some 18 months prior to then. That was not without some repercussions, given that global warming and CO2 emissions have become such highly politicised issues. There was a bit of a response from the Greenies, and we did have two Greenies chain themselves to the conveyor belt at Mooja, and they were subsequently removed by the police, but it started raining and they were fairly cooperative. So... And, of course, we experienced an unprecedented increase in our liquid fuel consumption to the point where reserves were exhausted, states' reserves were exhausted. We had no choice but to rely on imported fuels, paying a premium for those fuels. And with the increased consumption in, it wasn't only Verve, it was Alcoa and Alinta as well, the logistics of arranging equitable 24-hour transport of diesel to the various power stations around the state certainly proved challenging. And there were times when we found ourselves competing with Alcoa for Caltex trucks. So that was an area that was new to us, just having to deal with the transport logistics. Claudius in Shakespeare's Hamlet was on the mark when he said, "When sorrows come, they come not as single spies, but in battalions." And we know all about that at Verve Energy. And Ken mentioned we had not only the Verve, the Varanus gas crisis, but in the week prior to that, our biggest, newest, best, in theory, most reliable coal-fired power station at Collie went down with a catastrophic turbine failure. So this meant we had 340 megawatts out of the system, which in turn meant not only were we first forced to burn more liquid fuel, but we weren't able to free up as much gas to other users in the market. And, of course, this was exacerbated by the fact we had a number of units out for winter maintenance, planned outages, as well as units out for the Mooja control and instrumentation upgrades. But notwithstanding the negative impact of the crisis on Verve, we do believe it will lead to some business opportunities for us, particularly in relation to renewable projects to lessen our dependence on gas, and perhaps also in relation to the ongoing utilisation of Mooja and AMB once pollution abatement equipment has been retrofitted. So the lessons to be learned. Well, this crisis certainly highlighted our dependence on gas, and Verve, as a result, has modified its strategy to take into account the need to lessen that dependence. The global warming emissions trading scheme coming in has pretty well eliminated any proposals involving the construction of new coal-fired plants, given that the technology on which they will be based may well be obsolete in 10 or 15 years' time. So our strategy has been modified to focus more on high-efficiency gas turbines, pump storage projects, advanced solar thermal projects. We're also looking at the moment, and this is something that Ken and Mark referred to, the need to look at additional, not only gas storage, but oil storage and transportation solutions. And, of course, given that the reliability of our plant is critical in responding to a crisis, although we are retiring old units, we are bringing in new ones to replace them, but that will take time. So in concluding, and in the context of the definition of crisis I referred to in my introduction, it is interesting to note that the Chinese word for crisis apparently comprises two characters, one meaning danger and one meaning opportunity. The Varanus gas crisis has certainly provided us with an opportunity to work toward not only lessening our dependence on gas, but also to factoring in the need to bring in some more diversity in terms of fuel, to improve plant reliability, and to deal with transportation and storage issues. Lastly, I would just like to say that it has been observed that Western Australia is a quarry surrounded by an oil slick floating on 135 TCF of gas. So in one sense, it's almost unthinkable that the state could be facing an energy crisis like this. But I think if nothing else, this proves that it can happen and it could well happen again. Thank you.